Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, oh, how the heavens and the earth and the works of your hands declare your glory, your power and righteousness. Out of nothing, you alone created all things, and it was good. Though the world's now marred with sin, we can still look about and know that there is a God full of beauty, goodness, and truth. Beyond your wonderful works, we marvel too that you who sit enthroned in the heavens and to whom the nations of the earth are like a drop in the bucket would say, I will be your God and you will be my people. By your grace and mercy you reached out to us, for surely we are not deserving of such a relationship. Yet you gave us a way to be your people through Jesus Christ our Lord. By that great condescending act, O God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of light, grace, and truth, and that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that we by his poverty might become rich. In Christ is the resurrection and the life. Praise be to God for this indescribable gift. Lord, we cannot come to you on this first day of the year and not reflect on the year that has passed, nor consider the year before us. So, Lord, we thank you for your tender mercies and steadfast love in this past year. For our very breath as we stand here testifies to your mercy towards us. You have loved us in spite of our hard hearts and ingratitude, yet we have shelter in you in the shadow of the Almighty. Your rod and staff have comforted us. Your word and spirit have guided us. We rejoice, whether in joy or sorrow, that you make known to us the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. We certainly can go beyond ourselves looking at this past year and see your hand at work in peoples and nations. The world may plot and scheme, yet we know you stand sovereign over all. Your church and your kingdom have continued to advance in these last 12 months, and we rejoice that we are 1 year nearer to your glorious return. Lord, as we look to the year ahead, let us lift our eyes to the hills and to see that our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. By your Spirit, let us hold fast the confession of hope without wavering. In this new year, help us to remember your promises and who you are. Let your faithfulness be what we rely on. Lord, help us to number our days that we may grow a heart of wisdom. We pray that your Holy Spirit would provide every thought, speak in every word, direct every step, prosper every work, build us up in the faith, give us a desire to praise you, to love you, to advance your kingdom. We pray too for your church in the year ahead, for our local church. We pray for continued unity in the faith. Show us afresh how we can better serve and love one another and to encourage each other in the faith. We pray for our pastors and their families. Bless them in their relationship with you, with their families, and with each of us. Give them discernment in their service to you in this year ahead. For our presbytery, we pray for peace and reconciliation. For our denomination, we pray that you would fill empty pulpits. Use our seminary to build up the next generation of workers for the ministry. In all of this, we pray the gospel of Jesus Christ would shine forth and that you would be using this church and the churches throughout the world to bring revival and many to faith in Christ. Lord, we want to pray tonight for the young adults in our congregation and families. Lord, we pray that you give them a heart to seek you first, and may they be established in your word, and that you would be a light to them, to direct them in your path as they go about the world full of choices and decisions to make. We pray for strong godly relationships with other believers. Bless them in the work that you've given them. Guide them to the place where they can be of service to you. Lord, we're thankful also for the resources and ability to expand our parking lot to meet our growing needs in this growing church. So we're thankful for those that are managing the project, and we pray for your blessing on the work that they do. Lord, we pray specifically for our permits that need to be approved, that they would be approved quickly so we can begin this project. We pray that this would not just be an expansion of our physical footprint here on the south side, but would result in the expansion of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Lord, tonight, thinking about the year ahead and laborers we would like to uphold in prayer, RP Global Missions. There's an urgent need for more laborers, particularly in South Sudan and Central Asia. As was mentioned in the prayer this morning, your word says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So, Lord, we pray that you would put in the heart of men and women who are ready and able to join the mission in this mission work. We also want to give thanks and pray for the several young men and women who are eager to serve long-term in the mission field. They're still a few years away from service. Bless their preparation for the mission service. Guide them, help them to make clear to them how and where best they can serve in this ministry. So Lord, bless us in the remainder of our time, we pray. Bless Pastor Hansen as he opens your word to us tonight. Give us ears to hear and a heart to apply your word to our lives this evening. We pray for all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Next, we will sing Psalm 141a. So let's stand and sing Psalm 141a.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. It's good to be with you and to open God's Word together. If you could turn with me in your copies of God's Word to Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8. You can find that on page 853 in the seat back Bible. Revelation chapter 8 on page 853. Our text this evening, you can see, comes well into the activity and action of the book. And I think it would be helpful for us to remind ourselves of some of the context and the setting. I'm sure you remember hopefully a good deal of it from when Pastor Wise led us through this book, maybe 2 years ago, but still, it's good to review. Just remember that God gave this revelation to the Apostle John while he was in exile on the island of Patmos. And it was given in part to encourage the persecuted churches of Asia Minor. You'll be familiar with Christ's word to the seven churches, which we find in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Encouragement and also conviction that he brought to both, to all of them. In chapters 4 and 5, remember that John is given a glorious vision of Christ in heaven. We see Christ, the Lamb, standing as though he'd been slain, revealing his sovereignty over the course of history as he looses the seven seals. In chapter 6, the first four seals are open, the so-called four horsemen of the apocalypse. And in the fifth seal, we see the souls of the martyrs under the altar who are crying out for justice, crying out for justice. And in the sixth seal, we see God begin to judge the world. And then in chapter 7, there's an interlude where we see this vision of the church triumphant, sealed by God, who are singing his praises. And this brings us to the seventh seal in Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8, I'll read verses 1 to 5. God's word says, "When he," that's the Lamb, "when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightning, and an earthquake. Amen. This is God's word. And before we consider it together, let's pray and ask for His blessing. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we can come into Your house this evening. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would be active here this evening, ministering to each one according to their needs. God, for those who need encouragement, I pray that You would give it. For those who need to be convicted of sin, would this be for them a day of salvation? And bring them into holiness and into righteousness. And God, above all, we ask that You would magnify and glorify Your Son, Jesus Christ, in our midst this evening. For we pray these things in His name. Amen. Well, I'm sure that for each of us, as we live our lives in this physical world, surrounded and full of physical pains and stressors and sorrows, I'm sure that each of us has fallen prey to the temptation of what we could call spiritual forgetfulness. We can be like Bunyan's muckraker. Maybe you remember that man who was so busy working in this earth, in the muck of this earth, that he didn't lift up his eyes and see that there was a crown of glory above his head. Or do you remember the account of Elisha's servant? In 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha and his servant, they wake up one day and they're surrounded by a Syrian army. And his servant says, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" And you remember what Elisha said and did. He comforted him with those gospel-rich words, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And then he prayed. He said, "O Lord, please open his eyes so that he may see." And then you remember Elisha's servant was then privileged to see that they were surrounded by a legion of angels to protect them. We sometimes need, don't we, those reminders of heavenly, spiritual, invisible realities. Reminders of the help and the protection that God has given to us. And it's in response to our propensity to lose sight of these invisible realities that God has given us the book of Revelation. It serves really as a heavenly perspective on the struggles of the church on earth, especially the struggles of the persecuted church. And specifically, it's in response to our propensity to lose sight of the invisible realities of prayer that God has given us our little passage, which reveals to us the awesome reception that our prayers receive in heaven. And so, friends, the call of this passage is simple. Fill heaven with your prayers. Fill heaven with your prayers. And we'll examine this theme in this passage by noticing three encouragements for you in your prayers. First, fill heaven with your prayers because they are heard by God. Second, fill heaven with your prayers because they are precious to God. And finally, fill heaven with your prayers because they will be answered by God. And notice this first encouragement, fill heaven with your prayers because they are heard by God. Look with me at verse 1. It says, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And first, under this encouragement, we see a surprising silence. Verse 1, it introduces the content of the seventh seal, which so far have been horsemen of the apocalypse and voices crying out for justice and God judging the earth. And the seventh seal begins with silence. And this is quite unexpected. So far in the book of Revelation, heaven has been anything but silent. In chapter 4, verse 1, John's vision of heaven is introduced with a voice like a trumpet. There were creatures who never ceased to cry out day and night, "Holy, holy, holy We heard the crash of crowns as the 24 elders cast them before the Lamb, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power." We heard the voices in chapter 6, verse 10, the voices of the martyrs under the altar calling out for justice. It says in 6:10, "And they cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood?" Chapter 7 ended with this cacophony of praise from a numberless multitude. 7 verse 10 says, "And they cried out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Heaven is active, and heaven is noisy, and then there's silence. Silence in heaven, what does this mean? Now, I submit to you that part of the reason that there is silence in heaven is so that God can listen to the prayers on earth. Silence in heaven so that God can listen to the prayers on earth. Think about Psalm 65 verse 1, which we'll sing after the service. It says, "Praise waits for you in silence, O God, in Zion." Praise waits for God in Zion. We see that praise in chapter 7. We see the silence in 8 verse 1. And how does David continue the thought? "Praise waits for you, O God in Zion, O you who hear prayer." Praise, silence, and a God who hears your prayers. This silence, it's a picture of intense focus. Heaven is focused on the Lamb, and the Lamb is focused on the prayers of the saints as they rise up before Him. Silence in heaven so that God can listen to prayers on earth. Of course, this is illustrative language. God is not like a flustered driver in a new city who turns down the radio so that he can focus on hearing the directions. But it is, I think, a picture for us that God is intent on listening to your prayers. He won't suffer any distractions or any intrusions as he listens to the prayers that come before him, but he gives them his undivided attention. It's a surprising silence. Second, we have an encouraging illustration. An encouraging illustration. You can be confident that God hears your prayers because of how they're pictured. We read in verse 3 that an angel came, and he was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints. Verse 4, "And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand." Your prayers are pictured as being incense. This connection of our prayers with incense, it's not new here to Revelation. That's why we sang from Psalm 141, verse 2, it says, "Let my prayer be set before you as incense." And in Revelation 5, verse 8, the four living creatures are holding these golden bowls, which John tells us are full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And Christian friends, this is meant to be an encouraging illustration. Think of the power of a strong aroma. Imagine a bustling kitchen on Thanksgiving morning. There are turkeys that have been stuffed with celery and carrots and garlic and onions, and they've been rubbed with butter and herbs, and there are pies cooling, and the smell, it fills your nostrils. In the Sturm and the Spear households, Elsa and I are in charge of the stuffing, and I love it. It's one of my great joys to make. I love the finished product, and I love to eat it, but I love the process of making it as well. Because our stuffing, it uses more fresh herbs than we'd normally use in probably the other 12 months of the year. Parsley and sage and rosemary and thyme in these abundant quantities. And if you're in our kitchen on Thanksgiving morning, you can't escape the smell. It assaults your nostrils. You walk in and you could be blindfolded and you'd know what was going on. This aroma, it arrests your attention. And in a similar way, our passage is offering you encouragement that God hears your prayers. They are filling his sanctuary and filling his nostrils. He can smell them. He can see their smoke and he hears their petitions. Brothers and sisters, God hears your prayers. But we can wonder and think to ourselves, well, whose prayers does God hear? Certainly not my prayers. We can doubtingly think to ourselves, my prayers are too feeble, or I'm too sinful, or I have too many doubts, or I haven't done enough for God to really hear my prayers. And we can wonder whose prayers are filling the golden censer and filling the golden bowls. Whose prayers fill the nostrils of God? Is it only the prayers of the great and famous Christians? We could believe that the prayers of David or the prayers of Paul were heard by God. Or is it only the prayers of the so-called capital S saints? We know that God hears the prayers of the martyrs under the altar. We can think to ourselves, does he just hear the prayers of those people who have suffered much for him, suffered for the gospel and for the testimony of God? But no, friends, look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. And he, the angel, was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints. All the saints, brothers and sisters, your prayers and my prayers are in God's sanctuary now. When Elder Hart was praying, the omnipotent, omniscient God of heaven stopped and he listened to the prayers of this tiny little congregation in this little city. God hears your prayers. And isn't this an encouragement? We can often lose confidence of our prayers' acceptance with God. Our senses can tell us that our prayers haven't made it out of our own head, much less past the roof into God's throne in heaven. Or we may have had to wait long for an answer for a prayer. But we may have found in our experience that the heavens above us were brass and wonder if our prayers have really reached heaven. But that's why we have this passage. God gives us a picture and he says, here are your prayers. They're in these golden bowls and they're in the golden censer and they're before the Lamb. The altar of heaven is filled with prayers that have been heard by God. It is filled with prayers that may have been offered by unimpressive Christians in unimpressive locations, but nevertheless heard by God. Prayers offered to God in a midweek Zoom meeting. Prayers offered by discouraged Christians whose prayers contain more sighs and groans than words or phrases. I'm sure some of you are painfully familiar with those prayers, but they're heard by God. They're heard by God. Heaven is filled with the prayers of boys and girls, even ones mimicking mom and dad in family worship. You know those prayers that I'm talking about, lacking perhaps in eloquence or rhetorical flourishes, but overflowing with a childlike faith. Dear Jesus, please let Grandma become a Christian. Dear Jesus, please protect the people in Ukraine. Dear Jesus, please give Daddy a new job. Boys and girls, do you know that God hears your prayers? You don't have to be a grown-up. You don't have to be an adult for God to hear your prayers. Jesus loves to hear the prayers of his children. And from the mouths of infants, he has ordained both praise and prayers to come to him. Brothers and sisters, God hears all the prayers of all the saints. And so fill heaven with your prayers because they are heard by God. But notice another encouragement. We can fill heaven with our prayers because they are precious to God. We can fill heaven with our prayers because they are precious to God. We saw under our first heading that God hears your prayers because of the potency of the incense. It fills his sanctuary. But I think that we can learn from this same illustration of incense that your prayers are precious to God. This tabernacle incense that John is writing about, we read about it in Exodus 30, verses 34 and following. It says there in Exodus chapter 30, "And the Lord said to Moses, take sweet spices, stacta and onycha and galbanum, sweet spices with pure frankincense, and make an incense blended by the perfumer, seasoned with salt, pure and holy. One commentator, he called these rich and rare spices. These were extravagant luxuries. These were extravagant luxuries. And we can see partly from this the value and the worth of the one to whom they're offered. God is awesome. God is great and greatly to be praised, and He deserves the most spectacular worship. But surely we can reason from this same illustration that our prayers are precious to God, a sweet-smelling aroma before Him. Friends, your prayers are most holy and precious in His sight, just like the precious incense that He uses, that God uses to illustrate them. You can notice also that your prayers are precious to God because of the precious vessels in which they're stored. In chapter 5, verse 8, we saw our prayers stored in golden bowls that were carried by the four creatures. Or in our passage, they're kept in a golden censer, and they're on the golden altar of incense. And doesn't that show us something of the preciousness of our prayers? You don't get out the fine china for a quick lunch of peanut butter sandwiches and apple slices. No, the best dishes are reserved for the most extravagant meals. These are costly vessels to hold your precious prayers. Your prayers are precious to God. We can see that your prayers are precious to God because they are conveyed directly to Him. We see the incense and the prayers, they're stored in the altar, and it says it's before God. But remember, in the tabernacle, when this incense was originally used, the altar of incense, it was outside the veil. The altar of incense was outside the most holy place. And we read in Leviticus chapter 16 that once a year, Aaron or the high priest would take some of that incense behind the veil and burn it in a cloud over the mercy seat. But brothers and sisters, thanks be to God, the veil is torn. And the golden altar is before the throne now. God does not once a year get a record of the prayers that have been offered to Him, but they're taken directly into His presence. So He's standing there, and the golden altar is before Him, and He sees the prayers as they arrive. They're conveyed directly to Him. And because God is your Father and Christ is your husband, He charges His angels, ministers who do His will, to bring your prayers directly into His presence, directly into that altar, to be presented before Jesus Christ, the true mercy seat of God. Your prayers are precious because they're conveyed directly to Him. And finally, your prayers are precious to God because He is jealous for them. Your prayers are precious to God because He is jealous for them. The incense described in Exodus, it came with a prohibition. In Exodus 30, verse 37, God says, "And the incense that you shall make, you shall not make for yourselves. It shall be for you holy to the Lord. Whoever makes any like it to use as perfume shall be cut off from his people." Because your prayers are precious to God, He jealously guards them. They are to be offered to Him and Him alone. Maybe from this truth, we can see that we need to reject the errors of Rome on this point. In Revelation, we will see saints and angels active, but we may not and we must not make them the recipients of our prayers. Our prayers are holy to the Lord, precious to Him, and to be given to Him alone. And so, brothers and sisters, fill heaven with your prayers because they are heard by God, because they are precious to God. But notice a final encouragement. Fill heaven with your prayers because they will be answered by God. Fill heaven with your prayers because they will be answered by God. Under our first encouragement, we consider that the silence in heaven, it gives us confidence that God has heard our prayers. But if we revisit this silence of the seventh seal, we see not only that God has heard, but we have anticipation that He will act. you're all familiar with that little phrase, the calm before the storm. It's a pregnant pause. It's a period of time that is dripping with intense anticipation. And so the seventh seal is not just a silence to help focus on the prayers and incense. It's also a silence that anticipates God's response. At points in the Old Testament, this is how this phrase is used. Think of Habakkuk 2:20. But the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. Or Zephaniah 1:7. Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. We see silence in anticipation of God's answer. And how does God respond? How does God respond to the prayers of His people that come into His nostrils? We see that He responds with awesome, earth-shaking activity. Look at verse 5. It says, "Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake." Doesn't that language sound familiar? In Exodus 19, we read in various places, "And on the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings." It says, "Now Mount Sinai was wrapped with smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The whole mountain trembled greatly." Verse 5 in our passage, it comes to us in the language and the vocabulary of Sinai. This is the language of a God who comes down and who is active in the affairs of men. In the context of our passage, I think especially in view here is a continued answer to the petitions of the souls under the altar who were crying out for justice. In the sixth seal, God judges the men of the earth for their hand in the persecution of the saints. And here in verse 5, we see God continue to judge all the earth. And we need to be clear, this is a warning. This is a warning that we need to hear and reckon with ourselves, in which we need to proclaim to the world. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. If you tell that to your neighbors, they'll picture a man on the sidewalk with the sandwich sign. But what else can we say to them? Judgment is coming, and we see it here in verse 5. Jesus said in Luke 12:49, "I came to send fire on earth, and would that it were already kindled." And here in Revelation 5, it's a picture. It's a picture of what it will be like when the wrath of the Lamb is kindled but a little. Judgment is coming. And this world-ending judgment is brought about under God's sovereign rule by the prayers of the saints. God, through John, is encouraging the churches in Asia that despite their persecution and suffering and tribulation, He has heard their prayers and He will act. This language of judgment, it's a wake-up call to the sleepy church in Sardis. You remember He told them, "Wake up and strengthen what remains." And they need to do that because judgment is coming. And surely it's also an encouragement to the persecuted church in Smyrna, who were told to endure suffering, even being put to death, so that they could receive the victor's crown. And there's assurance here that God has heard their prayers and that He will answer them. And brothers and sisters, this same encouragement is offered to you. Have you seen, even in this congregation, God answering your prayers? As you begin a new year, think about 2022. How did God deal with your prayers? Maybe some of you spent time early this year praying for Tommy Mangan, the police officer and member of 2nd RP who was shot through the neck while on duty. Many of us prayed that God would spare his life, and God spared his life. We prayed for successful surgeries, and we heard encouraging reports. God heard our prayers, and He answered them. Some of you prayed for 49 years that God would overturn Roe v. Wade. For 49 years, you heard God say, "Not yet, just a little while longer. But God heard your prayers, and in His time, He answered them. Haven't some of you prayed for victory over sin and seen God give it? Or prayed for assurance and seen God grant it? Brothers and sisters, God answers prayers. And isn't this an encouragement to persevere in prayer? Isn't this an encouragement to persevere in prayer? God may not and does not often answer in our time or according to our will, but God will certainly answer. And this is an encouragement for you Christians who are tempted to leave off praying. God will answer your prayers. Luke 18:1, Jesus taught His disciples a parable to this effect, that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. And so, brothers and sisters, where are you tempted to lose heart in your prayers? Have you stopped praying for your own sanctification? Saying, God won't kill that sin. God won't kill that sin in me. Continue to pray and don't lose heart. God will answer and one day present you blameless before His glorious presence with great joy. Or are you discouraged? Are you discouraged about the condition of the church? I know that for some of you, 2022 was wave after wave of discouragement. You say, God hasn't heard my prayers. God hasn't answered my prayers. But we need to keep on praying as we continue to pray for the peace of the church, continue to pray the words of David, do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Couldn't we say in your good time, and build up the walls of Jerusalem? Continue to pray that peace would be within her walls and palaces. The psalmist said of God in Psalm 102, which I think David preached last week, Psalm 102, you will arise and have pity on Zion. And we need to take on our lips the response of the psalmist, 102:13, it is time to favor her. Isaiah 62:7, Isaiah encourages that faithful remnant, give him no rest. Give the Lord no rest until He establishes Jerusalem and makes it a praise in the earth. Or continue to pray and don't lose heart as you pray for the lost. Lost friends and lost family members. Lost children or lost spouses. God's arm is not shortened so that it cannot save. Brothers and sisters, fill heaven with your prayers because they will be answered by God. Prayer is hard work, isn't it? And I'm sure that your experience bears this out. One preacher said, the more spiritual the duty, the more taxing it is on the flesh. We're tempted in the flesh to doubt our prayer's usefulness or their efficacy or their acceptance with the holy God in heaven. And that's why we need this passage. That's why we need these encouragements, this awesome scene of our prayers ascending up into the sanctuary of God, heard by Him, precious to Him, and in due course answered by Him. And so, dear Christian friends, fill heaven with your prayers. Amen. Let's pray and ask for the Lord's blessing as we do that. Our Father, we are so thankful that we can come to You as our Father. We are so thankful that when we don't know what to pray, we can say, Lord, teach us to pray. And You teach us, You say, pray them like this. We're so thankful that when we are discouraged, when we are downcast, when we can't do anything but sob and sigh, that Your Spirit intercedes with groanings too deep for words. And God, how we thank You for this passage, for this picture of our prayers being precious to You and heard by You. God, if there's any here who are doubting whether or not You are the God who hears prayers, would You give them encouragement from this passage and let them see what Your disposition is towards the prayers of Your people. God, help us to be a praying people. Help us to continue to pray and not lose heart. Help us, God, to pray in a way that is pleasing to You. God, we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.